Welcome to The Difference. Dan O'Donnell here alongside Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management. This is the podcast that sits right at the intersection of politics and economics. Broader economic and political trends have huge impacts on your bottom line, your financial future, and also your financial present. That's why I'm here to analyze the political side. Dave's here to analyze the economic side. And one of the oldest axioms in economics, Dave, is sell in May and go away. Something that you taught me just today as we record this, that this goes all the way back to the 1600s.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Of course, where it came from is that the folks in London would leave London, the city of London, and go out to the pastures, if you will, and they would do that in May and come back on St. Ledger's Day, which was mid-September. And of course, that's when they had their horse race. And during the summer, when they left the city, the economic impact would go down. And when they came back, it would kick back in. Now, it has been brought alive a long time because of the fact that the first and fourth quarter historically have been better performers than the second and third quarter, which of course is May to September into October. So that's the reason why there is some data that supports this. But when you think about the St. Ledger's Day and the horse races, of course, people came back and they're not as fortunate enough to go see the Kentucky Derby like my friend.
Well, that was actually last year. I had a lot of fun. My brother was living in Louisville at the time and he was set to move out at the end of June. And I said for Christmas, all right, we've been talking about doing this. He had been living there for his medical residency for years. I think it was 3-4 years, something like that. And he said, we've been talking about going every year. I'm just going to get tickets and everybody's going to go. It's a wonderful time. We sat right by the finish line. It was a great time. This year, I went to a big Kentucky Derby party, still wore the same powder blue suit.
And mint juleps, a little bourbon.
There were mint juleps flowing. The Kentucky bourbon was flowing. Not quite the same thing. And this year, of course, I didn't make any bets on the horse. I'm not a big horse racing guy. I don't play the ponies. I don't knowledgeably bet. This is how little I was kind of paying attention this year because, you know, you're not there. You're not swept up in it. I didn't even realize that there was a horse in it called Mystic Dan.
Yeah, that would have been you.
And had I seen Mystic Dan at 18-1 or whatever he went off at, I would have probably put down a $50 to $100 bet. Just say, okay, why not?
Was it 47-1? Is that what it was?
Was it 47-1?
I mean,
no,
sure.
I thought it was 18-1.
I don't know. I'm making that up.
He wasn't a huge underdog. I mean, he was an underdog, but he won, and I would have been $1,800 richer.
Yep.
So that's
and by the way, with that $1,800, you could go to a lot of places, like for example, Starbucks, and buy yourself the $7 coffee with the prices are up. Or, you know, like me, I go to the Quick Trip and get that, the cheaper coffee. But it's really good.
I only go to Starbucks when I absolutely have to. Big story: the CEO, or at least the CEO emeritus, the former CEO, the guy who's most closely associated, with Starbucks,
yeah.
Howard Schultz, said Starbucks needs to revamp its stores after a big earnings miss.
Yeah, 17%. That's a big number.
Since the latest earnings report.
Right.
The company's shares have fallen 17%, dragging the market value down to about $83 billion. Now, I'm old enough to remember, Dave, when Starbucks was the trendy thing. What would you say, mid-1990s,
early
2000s? Mm-hmm. Starbucks was it. It was, you can't really call it a fast food place, but it had, I think at one point, way more stores than McDonald's. I think it's been surpassed by Subway. Don't quote me on that. They're all up there in terms of locations because most Starbucks, most Targets have Starbucks in them and airports have Starbucks. And everywhere it seems you turn, there's a Starbucks, mm-hmm. right?
Or if you're in New York, there's Walgreens, you know, on every corner too. Yeah. So, of course.
Walgreens and CVS pharmacies.
Exactly.
It is shocking how many Walgreens there are in Manhattan. But my point is that you had this just unchecked growth. People couldn't get enough Starbucks. My goodness, it was hitting earnings every single quarter. It was about as safe an investment as it got, right? I mean, you had a steadily performing company that was well run. I mean, obviously, they took a little hit for their woke stuff.
Well, where, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but that is what was in the securities report this morning, is that Bank of America's securities analyst said their position in the Middle East may have affected their sales, but it could be that, or it could be the high price of coffee and groceries up 25% and everything else.
Well, I think, as you posited before we started recording here, and I think it's a good, you know, I thought it was just, you know, some of these companies, they get long in the tooth and their technology is outdated. Like the Xerox Corporation was once
Kodak.
One of the biggest in America. Right. Kodak was a huge, I mean, you good luck finding a Kodak product now, right? And it's, you know, sort of evolve or die, right? Well, there's only so many ways to evolve when your product is coffee. And your suggestion as to Starbucks' struggles, I think, is the correct one. People always sort of griped about paying $4.95 for a coffee. It was seen as a luxury item and something that people would buy to treat themselves, often every morning. I myself am perfectly fine with my Keurig K-Cup at about 50 cents a pop. So now, with prices, as you said, up 20-25%, utilities up. If people got into a new mortgage, it's 7.5%. You're paying a lot more money in interest. I mean,
oil prices. Oil prices were
right.
up. Yeah, I mean, it was over $90. Now it retreated a little bit over the last 30 days because of record production of, you know, 13 million barrels is record production. So it did come back a little bit, but that's not for where it started. It's still up substantially. Put that into your conversation as well.
Well, exactly. And people are paying all of this, and wages have not risen nearly as fast as inflation, rather, obviously. But what are you going to cut out? Obviously, your luxury, right? Instead of going to Starbucks, you're going to McDonald's for their dollar cup of coffee. Or you're like me, you're investing in a Keurig for 200 some bucks and then getting the little K-cups. Or maybe you're just sucking it up and drinking the coffee at work. By the way, do you have good coffee for your employees?
We do. We do. We got this really fancy, dancy coffee machine. And so the people kind of line up in the morning. But yeah, I mean, we did. It's not the crappy coffee, you know, the old days with the glass cups. But I will tell you, you know, part of this conversation clearly is that inflation remains sticky. And by the way, the benefit of experience is just to make your point is we do see this. I mean, they have been around a long time. We've seen a lot of economic slowdowns over the last 30 years. And when that happens, if you ask a consumer what other things that they're doing differently, one of them is not going and buying $6 and $7 cups of coffee. So not to rip on Starbucks, but the historical perspective of consumer behavior is they are then changing things around.
Well, and that's it. And so what do you think Starbucks needs to do? Do they just need to lower prices, accept a lower profit margin?
No, they've been really good. The reason why people pay more money to go to the Ritz-Carlton, for those who can afford it, is for the experience. And there are still a number of people who want great service and great experience, and that is sometimes as good as product. Otherwise, if you're going to compete on price, no matter what it is, it's going to be a race to the bottom. So he wants to revamp it, not lower the price. And of course, if he lowered the price, that would compound the problem of earnings as well. But what we're trying to say here, Dan, is of course that, you know, when the jobs numbers came in on Friday and they were below expectations,
right,
the market reacted to bad news. Why? Is because people are saying maybe this will spur on the Fed to do something different, which is lower interest rate costs. You know, that's dual-edged, because if you lower interest rate costs, the Fed rates, for example, at the same time that the government is spending so much money, that is going to make the inflation problem worse, not better. And so when the government has its debt growing at $1 trillion every 3 months, at some point, this irresponsible behavior is going to come to fruition. So what happens? The Fed is likely to do something, probably in September, right before the election, which could spur on some economic growth. This is going to have an impact on the voting of consumers in America, despite what the Fed says they want to stay apolitical.
Well, and that's just it. Any rate cut that happens 2 months before an election, heck, a rate cut that would have happened maybe in June, is going to have an impact on the election. I mean, that's just going to happen.
right? The wealth effect is how do you feel? And because if the market starts to rally because of that, or interest rates go down and people start to buy homes again, these things will spur on the economy, will make the wealth effect better. That is direct. I mean, if you go back and look at it historically, that wealth effect percentage, the misery index that we like to call, if that's below 7.5% and it's teetering there right now, if that gets better for Biden, that will help him.
Yeah, I think it will. The question is it almost too little too late? Because we've got more rounds of polling showing that Biden is trailing and trailing badly. Folks, even polls showing Biden up 4% nationally are showing Trump is going to win the election. And the only question that I really
You're
going to
owe me $100
right
bucks.
Now,
that's the question.
Oh, yeah. The question I have is Biden going to be the candidate? Right. I don't think things are quite that bad yet. Also, I am a firm believer that they still believe Biden is their best bet because he's safe. He's a palatable alternative to Trump. I said after 2018 that the Tony Evers model of Scott Walker being an incredibly controversial governor. Obviously, conservatives loved him. Liberals absolutely hated him. He was sort of Trump before there was Trump, right? He wasn't as bombastic. He wasn't as in-your-face as Trump. Nobody is, really. But the left just despised him. In 2020, they ran about the most bland, milquetoast, kindly old man that they could find in Evers.
Right. So it was a choice.
They did the same thing to Trump.
It's a choice.
They did the same thing to Trump. Right. Now, though, I mean, it's so beyond apparent. Did you see the latest over the weekend? Biden was walking, and he just sort of stopped and froze. There are a number of experts that say that that might be a symptom of Lewy body dementia. Now, I'm not going to go being like, you know, one of these psychics that analyze whether couples, celebrity couples, are about to break up because of how they're holding hands and looking at each other. But I'm saying there are so many things like that where he just, well, look at Uncle Bozy getting eaten by cannibals during World War II. I mean, the guy is clearly not with it. I just think, Dave, it's far too late for them to just put another generic Democrat on the ballot.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Democratic convention in Chicago is certainly going to be interesting because, you know, to bring this all together, what is happening on the campuses right now could make its way to Chicago. And, of course, you look at it right now, it's not going to come down to the other 99% of Americans. It's going to come down to the seven swing states. And right now they are all in the margin of error.
Yeah, they are. There's one exception. I think
Michigan,
but I would look for Michigan to actually trend harder towards Biden as we get closer to the election, because what you're seeing now is a bunch of protest votes, especially around Dearborn. People say, well, I don't support the president. Well, when the rubber hits the road, because of Israel, when the rubber hits the road, are these people really going to vote for Trump? Are they really going to vote for a third party candidate, knowing that that could swing the election to Trump? I've got my doubts. That said, though, where the math gets difficult for Trump is he can win Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina. If he loses Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania because of the high population, especially in Pennsylvania, that's going to be the election. I actually think this election this year is going to come down to Pennsylvania.
99.5% of Americans aren't going to matter. You're just going to be the swing voters in those states.
Last time, as I always blow people's minds by saying this, it was 45,000 votes in 2020. Spread across Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin, that were the difference. That's it. If those votes are different, if they go for Trump instead of Biden, we've got a completely different matchup this year because Trump is the outgoing president.
Right.
All right.
So to everybody, don't freak out. Obviously, have a plan. Make sure that your plan is on track and make sure your portfolio is customized to coordinate with that plan. And that is what Annex Wealth Management does.
Every single day. It's called a Wealth Metric. It's a review of your portfolio that you can get only for free at annexwealth.com. For Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex, I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks for listening to The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, LLC, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of the podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be construed as tax, legal, or investment advice, or a recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management, LLC, nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.